Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger and Mass.
Eagle sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
98.5, the sports hub.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like I've said many times before, that's what we signed up for. This is what we prepared for all year. Chance to win a championship, and that's where we're at right now. So we're all excited, ready to go.
All right, Chris Sale goes tonight. Talked about that. All-time pitching matchup really is. Oh, and real quick. Again, I don't want to extend this topic, but I think this is a good one. Most overrated Red Sox play in history. This is Adam Jones calling from New Hampshire, or Peabody and Peabody. Go ahead, Pedro.
Definitely JBJ's Grand Slam in Game 3 for sure.
JBJ's Grand Slam, says Adam Jones. That was actually Pedro and Peabody. Sorry, I butchered your name. I got excited there for the line. Jackie Bradley's Grand Slam, you're up 2 runs.
I mean, they were ahead.
As Adam Jones would call it, an empty net goal. So the starters there, Sale and Kershaw. Fascinating. All-time pitchers. At least one guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. Sale, if he hangs on, pitches long enough, will be. Hall of Fame talents. Generational pitchers going head-to-head. Awesome. Yet great uncertainty with both. Sale and his health and what he can give you. Kershaw with his big game inconsistency, never mind the weather. He's not used to pitching in, 40-plus degree temperatures, so there's a big unknown there. Then there was an interesting roster move today. Drew Pomerantz, who I don't think I'm exaggerating to say has been arguably your worst pitcher this year, full-time pitcher.
I mean, could you say, I think you can extend that and say he has been the worst player on the team this year.
Okay.
I mean, really, who's been worse?
Well, I don't know. He's up there.
I'm telling you, there isn't anybody.
No, it's him. Okay. It's Pomerantz.
Your worst pitch, arguably your worst player this entire year, gets activated onto the roster today.
For the World Series.
For the World Effing Series. Why? Why, Maz?
Because the Red Sox are short lefties in the bullpen, and they know that the Dodgers are vulnerable to left-handed pitching, so they had to add a lefty out there. And they're holding the dice that Pomerantz is going to be the guy. There's really no other reason.
Some people think it's Chris Sale insurance. Tell us why it's not.
It's not, because if Sale were to be injured in this series, in the course of this series, you can add someone in the middle of the series without penalty now. That's it. There were really no more penalties going forward. Typically, when you have an injury in the playoffs, you like Steven Wright in the first round. You replace him, and then he's ineligible for the next round. There is no next round. This is it. And so if something were to happen to Sale, and he doesn't bounce back, and he can't pitch Game 5, you can activate someone the day of the game. I mean, or make the determination the day before. You can absolutely do that on the fly. This is about having an option, a relief option, in Games 1, 2, and 3. That's what this is about. And I'll even eliminate Game 4, because I'll tell you what I think could happen in this series. You could see Price out of the bullpen when they get to Los Angeles. It would not surprise me in the least bit if you get a big at-bat late in a game there and it's Price coming out of the bullpen.
So this is a big analytic thing. I think Pomerantz is here because of the exact thing Maz said, the left-right disparity, and how the Dodgers, and you are very similar in that you hit the crap out of right-handed pitching. You are the best teams in the league this year, Major League Baseball, 1-2 against right-handed pitching. The Red Sox had an 817 OPS against right-handed pitching this year, first in Major League Baseball by a mile. But LA was second at 796. So they, 817 to 796, that's a big gap between 1 and 2. So the Red Sox were by far the best hitting team against right-handed pitching in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers were second best. But both are middle of the pack against left-handed pitching. The Sox dropped to 18th against left-handed pitching. 719 OPS. They go from 817 to 719. Almost a 100-point drop. The Dodgers' drop is less. Their OPS against left-handed pitching is 733. They're 13th. But either way, you can say about both teams. When they're going against right-handers, they're the best hitting teams in the league. When they're going against left-handers, they're middle of the pack.
Correct.
So you want to throw as many lefties out there as you possibly can. The Dodgers have a lot of lefties. Three out of their four starters are lefties. Rich Hill, Clayton Kershaw, and Ryu. The Red Sox, only two of their four are lefty. Furthermore, in the bullpen, the Dodgers have lefties. They have Alex Wood. They have Urias. What's his name?
Urias.
Urias. And Caleb Ferguson. They have three legit lefties who's been with them and come out of the pen. So the Dodgers, especially when you get into these bullpen games and these later games, can keep lefties out there to keep the Red Sox right-handed lineup out there, which doesn't hit as well against left-handed pitching. The Red Sox don't have that. They don't have that. They don't have that. When they go to their bullpen, they're throwing all righties, which means the Dodgers can bring out their left-handed hitters, and it flips. So the Red Sox had to activate a horrible pitcher just because he throws on the left side to even that out. That is, to me, a classic analytic nerd move.
Well, and it also tells you that they're worried about it. Right. So, like, you know, to me, again, and this comes back to whether or not people are, or, you know, overrating the, or that's the wrong word, whether people are too cavalier about this matchup and too cavalier about the Dodgers. The Red Sox are worried enough about the matchups that they added Drew Pomeranz to the roster. Like, think of that.
So the Dodgers, I'll just give you one more reason, and I'm not telling you they're wrong. Again, they've been playing the matchups and playing the nerd numbers the entire time, and they've been nailing it. So I'm not telling you they're wrong. I'm just saying, this is where I think it comes from. I don't think it's protection for Sale. I don't think it's protection for Price. I don't think it's because they believe in Drew Pomeranz. I don't think it's because he found a new arm slot or because whatever. I think it's because they look at the left-right numbers and say, we're imbalanced. The Dodgers have more guys who can neutralize us in this facet than we do. We've got to even it out. And also, they probably looked at the Dodgers against left-handed pitching in the postseason. In the postseason, the Dodgers against left-handed pitching, 585 OPS. That's seventh of the how many teams make the playoffs? 12, 8, whatever it is. The Dodgers only hit 585 OPS against left-handed pitching. Now, that might be heavily weighted because they just played Hader with the Brewers, who's, you know,
elite.
Just a shutdown guy from the left side. But either way, you want to throw lefties against the Dodgers.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, I think that's what it's all about. And the other thing is, aside from the fact that you're lefty, you know, they're worse against lefties, it also gives you more matchup options late in the game. Because the more lefties you have, the more times you can change pitchers. So, again, because what Roberts is going to do is Roberts is going to go one batter at a time. He'll go right, left, right, left. He'll use four pitchers in an inning if he has to because he can do it. I mean, he's got good balance in the bullpen, and he can go left, right all day long. The Red Sox can't really do that, and now they're going to try. And the fact that it's Pomeranz
should
scare the crap out of you. Because, again, I don't trust Pomeranz. So now, look, you can give you the add up the numbers however you want. And look, I looked him up this morning. I always thought that Pomeranz was better against righties than lefties. Because, again, he's another one of those guys with those big curveballs. The fact is that this year he was better against lefties than righties. The average was 281, but he didn't allow many extra base hits. So the slugging against him was very low. The OPS against him was relatively low. And you can see what the Red Sox are thinking there. Well, if we give up a hit to Bellinger or to Peterson and it's left on left, at least it'll be a single and it won't be a homer. Right? So it's that sort of thinking. But the mere fact that he's in this series at all should scare the crap out of you.
Well, apparently Cora's talking with the media now. He said the choice of Pomeranz was based on the Dodgers' lefties and their righties with reverse splits. And Pomeranz has popped his velocity up. There's a cliche.
Bull crap.
And they feel he can get a big out his curveball plays.
Okay, against this matchup. Don't tell me it's because it's something you've seen in Drew Pomeranz.
No. But I will also tell you that
they're playing the numbers.
Okay, but we had a caller earlier that said, why Pomeranz and why not Pointer? Right?
Fair point.
And I think it's because Pomeranz throws harder. So that's what they'll go with. They'll go with the fact that they're picking Pomeranz here should tell you that all they believe in really is the metrics, the numbers, the velocity of the fastball, the fact that he's left-handed, all of that. Because they're not factoring in at all the guy throwing it.
Right, of course.
I mean,
that's not what nerds do.
Because Pomeranz should scare the crap out of you. I mean,
he's had a horrible year. Horrible.
And I've had people in baseball tell me he's not a guy you want on the mound in a big spot. I mean, I've had people tell me that and say, you know, he's kind of a wuss when it comes to that. And so that should scare you.
Okay.
But again, maybe, you know, with the way their year's going, he'll probably go out and throw three scoreless.
Well, exactly. Murray, what's going to happen now with Drew Pomeranz?
Yeah, he's going to face a bases-loaded situation when he comes in L.A. in Game 3, eighth inning. Oh, my God, we're all shaking in our boots here. Drew Pomeranz, he's been terrible, and he strikes out the side. How about that? I thought it was going to be getting one out to close out the inning. No, he strikes out the side. No outs, bases loaded, gets out of the jam because it's the upside-down world for the Red Sox this year. The guys who stink have been the MVPs of the team. Jackie Bradley Jr., David Price winning playoff games, and now Drew Pomeranz is going to strike out the side in an eighth inning jam. High leverage a situation he can get, and he's going to get out of it because it's banana land with this Red Sox team this year, at least for the postseason.
Again, so Murray's giving up, but
waving the white flag. Everybody.
Just keep these things in mind as this series plays out.
I mean, I think these games are going to be a grind because the Dodgers are going to pitch every at bat. Roberts will overmanage the game that way. And you're going to get 3-2 games in the late innings. That's what you're going to get.
Okay, you've heard from Sale. You'll hear from the other starting pitcher coming up. And to your calls, I promise, here on Felger and Mass.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
When you, I believe you touched on it during the NLCS, but when you think about the World Series and winning one and the list of things you've accomplished, the list of things the team has accomplished the last 6 years, how critical of a piece is the ring, is winning it all?
It's pretty critical. I really won the World Series. I think that's no different than the other 50 guys in both locker rooms, though. I think the only difference maybe is that because we've gotten so close in the past, because we've gotten to go to the postseason, we're a little bit spoiled in our expectations every year with the Dodgers, which is a great thing. But realistically, you go into spring training, you know, every team says they want to win a World Series, but realistically, that's probably not an option for, you know, at least half the teams. So for us, when we really say it, we really mean it. When we get to go to the postseason 6 times in a row, it becomes that much more evident that we're very fortunate to be on a great team, but we're still missing that ring. And yeah, there's no secret that we want to win.
Clayton Kershaw, interesting guy tonight, obviously starting pitcher, but his place in history solidified with the World Series championship. Who knows how many cracks he gets at it? It's 2 straight years, but they can't bank on going. I know he's 30. Just wonder, how many chances do you get at this? And it's a big gap. It's a big gap for him. I mean, who'd you rather have on your team? Madison Baumgartner or Clayton Kershaw?
Baumgartner.
But who's had a better, more consistent career over the last 10 years?
Kershaw.
Right? So, like, Kershaw's the Peyton Manning in this equation. He's the guy who puts up the big numbers in the big regular seasons but can't win the big one.
It's a good analogy.
And now he's here again. And he's pitched better in the postseason, and they came up short in Game 7 of the World Series last year. I just think that's a dangerous spot for him. He's a dangerous guy. He's super, super talented, all-time talent, maybe his last kick at the can. And, is he ready? Is he ready to burst through and cross the threshold, et cetera, et cetera? Like, you got to respect that. Respect his ability to do something this series. I do.
I mean, I totally respect his ability. Again, you know, like, I just think, you know, you asked the wrong guy about Baumgartner. I mean, I would have that man's children.
No. But I mean, so I would too. I always take the champion over the regular season wonder. Always. Always. Give me rings over MVPs any day of the week. Give me rings over Cy Youngs. Give me Curt Schilling over Tom Glavine. You know, like 100 times over. Absolutely. Oh, I feel that way about all sports. Give me the guys that come through and win rings. And not just aren't passengers. I'm not talking about Trent Dilfer. I'm talking about guys that get Curt Schilling. Guys who get into that spot and perform and win championships. I'll take that over the Cy Youngs and MVPs and the regular season guys any day of the week. I take Madison Baumgartner too. And I'm sure Kershaw hears that. You know, is this his last chance to do something about it? And what does that mean for you? All right, so there's your thoughts, I promise, to you. Danny in Quincy, what do you think about this series? What do you got?
One aside, are you the guy that rails against Patriots fans when they complain about Eli Manning being in the grass and not calling it, and now the holding on that same play and then the helmet catch? And say, oh, well, you know, if this, that, that's the way it happened, and you got some you didn't get, and you got some. I mean, aren't you the guy that does that?
I guess, but what does that have? I don't understand.
Tony Clark's ball was sliced. He hit it, didn't square the ball up. The ball hit in foul, and it just bumped.
Oh. Okay. I'm just saying, well, fine. I'm just saying that Robert Steele wasn't the most important play in that comeback. That's all we're saying. Please,
okay, but
what's the next?
Tony
you always
Clark.
Go back. He always goes backwards. Always. Well, he always always goes backwards.
No, I know. He loves to pick at stuff we said 10 minutes ago.
Oh, my God. And then you run out of time.
Don't accuse me of going backwards. You're the one that brought this topic up early. You always blame me for going backwards, okay? You brought it up on the show.
Your comment line says nobody's cavalier about Los Angeles.
But I had to get to the Tony Clark one because you pissed me off.
Go.
You're the first one that rails against Patriots fans when they do the same thing.
Please go.
Okay. Just you're a hypocrite.
Fine.
That's all.
Fine.
All right. And I miss you on the post game with the Patriots, by the way. I don't watch 3 minutes of it.
Thank
all right?
You,
this
me
is a compliment
too.
For the day. Okay. All right, Tony.
Yeah.
Now, the Dodgers clinched Saturday night at 1 o'clock. Sunday we had the Patriots game, so the fact that the Sox are playing the Dodgers hadn't even settled in until yesterday. You did one show yesterday and a show and a half today. Where is the cavalier nature of Red Sox fans that we're going to win the series 4 straight?
People I've talked to, Danny, everyone seems like it's no big deal. Like, you know, the Red Sox have already accomplished a lot and they get the Dodgers.
Where is it? Danny, hold on 1 second. Robin Milbury, give me your prediction for this series, please.
Mike, why run scared? Listen to Murray. What happened in 2004, 2007, and 2013? You got a good memory. Think back before the series.
What's your prediction for the series, Rob?
LA in 5. I mean, Boston in 5.
Okay, you're sort of confused. His comment line said sweep and Red Sox sweep. So, Danny, I was trying to prove a point there, but of course the caller couldn't execute. There's a lot of people who are overlooking the Dodgers, Danny. Trust me.
You're always going to have that sycophant base that are going to say the Red Sox are going to win a series, even if they've been eliminated from a series. We know that. And but, you know, I don't know what people you're talking to, Tony. Is that people in sports or just your friends or what? We haven't even digested. I don't even know anything about the Dodgers. I'll admit that. And by the way, Noel Picard stuck his blade of his... of a stick inside Bobby Orr's skate and tripped them.
He sure did. I don't think he dove, but it was an overrated goal. Danny just can't help but going backwards. Did you see the Globe predictions? I read them online. I'm trying to find them here in the actual paper. Globe predictions. Where the hell? They were online. Gosh darn it.
I have not seen the Globe predictions.
Peter Abraham, Sox in 5. Dan Shaughnessy, Sox in 5. Chad Finn, Sox in 5.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Alex Spear, Sox in 5. Nick Cafardo, Sox in 6. Tara Sullivan, who's from out of town, the only one who's afraid to pick against him, picks against him, and has the Dodgers in 6. But otherwise, all the baseball guys, Abraham, Cafardo, Shaughnessy, Finn, Spear, Sox in 5, Sox in 5, Sox in 5, Sox in 6, Sox in 5. Everyone's overlooking the Dodgers, Danny.
Oh, see, I think there's a lot of that, too. And I'll tell you, one of the mistakes I think people make is that, and I'm accusing the baseball writers, they see the 92 wins with the Dodgers, and they won 92 games.
In a bad league.
These Dodgers aren't the same as they've been.
Oh, my God, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
And I look at it and say, who gives a rat's ass about the 92 wins? The question is, can you win when you need to win? That's a quote. When you throw your best out there and everybody's focused, can they win? And I look at it and I say, this Dodgers team should not be taken lightly.
And the more you look at it, the more you feel that way. And Spear, who gave his prediction as Sox in 5, then wrote a column that posted today online about how dangerous the Dodgers are. So maybe he, like the rest of us, the more you look at it, the more you go, oh, that actually favors LA and the left-right thing and that split and that, oh yeah, that favors LA. The more you look at it, the more you realize LA's got a real shot in this thing. On the face of it, if you don't know L.A. very well, and I didn't either, because I did say, and Johnny's about to call me out on this, I did say about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that it was over. You're winning the championship because when you were 3-1 on Houston, you're going to beat Houston and the NL second city, and so you're just going to waltz to this thing. I did. I said that 2 weeks ago. But I also said that I can talk myself into Los Angeles, and I'm starting to talk myself into Los Angeles. But Johnny in the car, go ahead. Call me out on that.
You just blew me up, Salgo. Just blew me up. Yeah, you said, oh, this is an easy win. I think the Dodgers were the toughest matchup. The Brewers, I think, you know, Sox and 5 just because that hated kid's legit. He's a stud. But the Dodgers, they're a legit team. And, you know, I think this is going to go probably 7 games, maybe the distance. And then, Mass, for you, since when did JBJ become, like, the second coming? I mean, the thought of him having to stay in the lineup, the guy batted 200 in the ALCS. I get it. He had some timely hits. They were great, but the guy batted 200. I mean, Mookie could definitely play second. I can see that. He's enough of an athlete. But you put Mookie in center, you're not losing anything in center field from JJ. You put Martinez in right. And then you have Bradley on the bench. You have to bring him in late in the game for a defensive replacement, maybe at bat.
It's so simple.
How could you even think about putting Like JBJ, really. That's what we're talking about, JBJ.
So simple. Bench JBJ. Bench JBJ.
I'll tell you, sir, I'm still eager to see how that goes because I'm not convinced he's the one that sits. It might be Benintendi. I want to see how they do that. So one of them sitting. Okay, I think we can agree on that now because the Red Sox have basically said, Cora's come out and said, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to play Betts at second base. So now look, I don't know if they get into a situation where there's a double switch or something and they have to throw him there for an at-bat or two and then move him back out to the outfield. I don't know. That could happen, sure. But start a game? No. I don't think that that's going to happen. And but I'm not convinced it's Bradley that's going
to
sit.
It's getting aggravating, too, of all these people who are saying that I want Mookie Betts to go to first. It's like, start with Evan Drellick and Shaughnessy on TV. Like, I want Mookie Betts to go to first. This is just a personal thing, but it's bugging the crap out of me because that's not what I said, and they know it's not what I said.
No, they're taking it out of context.
Because, right, they're just trying to make me look bad. I understand. You get a shot to take it, take a shot. You got to sort of kind of make it up, which is what it is. The play is to bench Jackie Bradley. That's the play. I don't want Mookie Betts in the infield at all. But I said to him, if you're going to move him to second, why not move him to first? What's the diff? I don't want either. But if we're going to get stupid, if this is what we're going to do, is it easier on it at first than it is at second? But the play is not to play Mookie Betts at first. It's not to play him at second. I never said that. I said bench Jackie Bradley. And that's the easiest thing to do. That's the easiest thing to do. And furthermore, I keep Mookie Betts in right. Because then I have that outstanding right field defense. If you the more pieces you move around, the more places you're going to be weaker. If you move Mookie Betts to second, you're weaker at second and in right. If you move Mookie Betts to center, you're probably just a hair weaker in center. You're weaker in right, and now you're weaker in two. Keep it. Martinez in left, Mookie in right, Benintendi in center, and we're somehow going to have to live without Jackie Bradley's 185 postseason batting average for those three games in Los Angeles.
I mean, to me, that's what I do. I'm leaving Mookie in right field because, again, remember, you're throwing right-handers in the first two games in L.A., which means you're getting all those lefties. You're going to get Peterson, you're going to get Bellinger, you're going to get Muncy, you're getting all those lefties, which means balls in the air to the right side. And so I want Mookie out there. I don't want J.D. Martinez in right field in Dodger Stadium. I'd play him in left.
All right, last chance to get your thoughts in here on Felger and Maz. You'll have, baseball reporters coming at 6.
Correct.
And tomorrow there's going to be a two-hour edition of Baseball Reporters.
Yes,
right?
We're going to go an extra hour tomorrow because of the World Series, and we'll be on remote tomorrow anyway. And I should say that, at least for the short term, as long as there's no conflict with the Bruins and the Celtics, because we obviously carry both of those teams' games right here on 98.5, as long as there is no conflict on World Series game nights, we will go until 8 o'clock with the Baseball Reporters.
Wow, look at you. 6 hours a day of radio.
It's a lot.
That's strong.
It's a lot, followed by a little on TV. I'm starting to feel like you.
Strong to quite strong, right? You work your ass off there, Maz. It's okay. Tell Hurley that the next time you see him. But we've got one more segment of your calls.
I work my ass off!
Here on Felger and Maz, right after Murray's update, where, again, he'll talk about a team in town that's actually sucking.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It really is a difference maker.
Ooh.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
We talk about the Indians, we talk about the Astros, New York. I think we're up there with them.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball.
Way, way, way out of here! A grand slam for the X-Man! Getaway center, Gardner back!
Just jumped all over it, the straightaway center field.
Changed a lot of stuff up, you know, here the first 2.5 years, and you know, to be able to get back to the pitcher that, you know, Boston signed, you know, that's about time.
Right now, trying to end the eighth, and he does it with a flare. He struck him out. There's another one.
No.
High deep drive, left field to the monster seats. It's off the light standard. First third home run of the game.
It's hard to see the guy that hit 3 home runs yesterday. He has to play.
Up the middle and through, and that's how the Red Sox have walked it off tonight.
Andrew Benintendi,
fly ball left field, that's deep. Back it goes, it is gone. Mookie Betts has hit for the cycle. The flare slicing in left field, it drops in, and that's gonna do it. The Red Sox have walked it off. Mitch Moreland delivers the game winner.
Down he goes, strike three, and the Red Sox win.
That ball's ripped down the right field line. That is a fair ball home run, and the cycle for Brock Holt. Bouncing ball, going to be a tough play. Nunez gloves, throws, and in time for the out. Sox will celebrate.
A lot of people gave up on us after losing game two. We showed up yesterday and we did an outstanding job, and tonight we had our plan. We have a complete team. We're very versatile. We count on everybody, and it was a great team victory.
Bradley Jr., a high fly ball to right. Greinke is at the wall. Can only watch. A grand slam.
A strikeout for Eovaldi, as Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight. Dropped down a little through the riser at 102.
I trust a guy.
This isn't about me. You know, I understand the narratives. I get that. You know, I deserve those narratives, but this is bigger than David Price. This isn't about me. This is about the Boston Red Sox.
And a swing and a miss. It's his ninth strikeout for David Price. And I'm sure David Price has mountains and mountains of crow to dish out. And his first career postseason win sends the Red Sox to the World Series.
A lot of people are proud of what supposedly I'm doing. And like I tell everybody, I'm proud of the group. You know, this is a group that they have high expectations. And the goal is to win the World Series.
Again, thanks to Jay Stu for putting that together. Season comes to an end here in the World Series. Game one tonight. We got you covered here on Felger Mass till 6. Mass has got another hour for you in the baseball reporters until 7. So we'll wrap it up with your calls here as promised. Joe and Peabody, what are your thoughts here?
Hey, what's up, guys? So real quick, just want to say cavalier is the least word I would use, and the reason is because of Craig Kimbrell. He's the one, looking at the whole thing, really makes me the most nervous going into everything. But Murray, you broke me down. You're killing me. We're going to win in 6. I'm with you, Murray. Let's go.
All right. Kimbrell, Mass, should still be a concern?
Absolutely should be a concern. Again, you can talk all you want about tipping pitches and delivery flaws and all that stuff. I think the bottom line is this guy feels the heat. And he doesn't command the baseball well enough to me to warrant any sort of trust. That's what I worry about. And by the way, that's a big thing with the bullpens in general, and I want to look into this further. Feels to me like the Dodgers guys throw strikes. Your guys don't. Just something to watch in the late innings.
Dante and Linfield on Pomerantz being activated and the whole left-right thing. Go ahead, Dante.
Yeah, when I think about this series, I really think it's going to come down to matchups, specifically how deep each team is. And when I think about late game at back, especially in the National League ballpark, they got guys pinching in like Kiki Hernandez, Jock Peterson, Max Muncy, like Chris Taylor. We got Nunez, Holtz, and Blake Swihart. And you know what's going to happen. Down the line, game 5-6, we're going to be in a big spot, big pinch hit at bat, and we're going to have Brock Holtz coming up. They can flip the lineup. They got righties and lefties to match up with you just like we do. This is going to be a very difficult test for the Red Sox.
Thanks for the call, Dante. Who's deeper? Whose bench is deeper offensively?
I think the Dodgers are, but I also, like he says, Brock Holt was a terrific pinch hitter.
He's a good pinch hitter, for sure.
I mean, he had a hell of a year in that role. He really did. He was great at it.
I'll take him in that spot any day.
No question. Yeah. So, look, again, I just think offensively, you know, Grandal gives him a better option at catcher than you have. So, you know, if they wanted to...
Except he can't catch.
Well, so he's not catching tonight, though, right?
He's not catching since he couldn't catch a balloon. I mean, mostly he goes because he's a switch hitter. And he's a better hitter than, is it Barnes? What's the backup?
Yeah, Barnes,
name?
You get it right.
He's a slapper. He can't hit, I don't think. So Grandal's a much better offensive option, but he had such problems defensively in the last couple rounds that they had to bench him. But he's a better bench he's a better bat off the bench, I'm saying.
Exactly. So that, to me, that's what they're going to get some benefit there, because you're going to have Vasquez or Leon on there all the time. And so you don't have a great bat coming off from one of those guys either way. But look, they're a high payroll team. I mean, there are almost, you know, again, there's almost $500 million invested in these two teams. They're deep. Like, just the fact, because they're in the National League, I don't think you can write off the Dodgers like you would, again, the Brewers or the Diamondbacks or a lot of other National League teams. You can't do that with the Dodgers.
Bill in the truck. Go ahead, Bill. Hello, William. Okay.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
All right, Maz, you're starting to sound a little bit like a combination between a politician and mainstream media, okay? All I hear from you is, this should scare the crap out of you. This should scare the crap out of you multiple times, okay? The Red Sox, even beginning before the playoffs, and picking on the bullpen, which everyone had their doubts, but history, clearly, it doesn't matter. They were in the World Series. This is a different world than it was. Who cares about the history? But yet you're still saying it scares the crap out of me. Do you guys want to live in, have this living in Red Sox fear? Is that how you guys are going to get your ratings? I hate to say it, man, but I'm intentionally spelling it this way. You're acting like a B.O.B. boo.
he says we're like the mainstream media.
Yeah, no, I think we don't kiss up like the mainstream media does, which is what the mainstream media does now. And look, if I was one of these worry words, when you say you're looking at history, I'm not telling you the Red Sox are going to lose because of some stupid curse or anything of the like.
I'm not telling you they're going to lose.
In fact, I didn't even say that either.
I'm just trying to beat you over the head with the last couple of days that the Dodgers are legit and there's a path for them. And if you think it's a walkover, it's not going to be. I don't think. That's all. I haven't even changed my prediction. I guess I still have the Sox. I say I guess. I told you I could talk myself into the Dodgers, and I have a little bit. But I would still go Red Sox. If this series were a pick, I'd go Red Sox. The odds are, is it minus 135?
Something like that. It's close.
So, I mean, I think there might be value there on the Dodgers side if you're betting, if you're getting odds, because I think it's close. But I haven't changed my prediction. I don't know what that has to do with the mainstream media. It's trying to be political.
Well, no,
I think you are.
Yeah, I'm telling you that what I look at when I say the Red Sox history, I don't think their bullpen guys throw that many strikes. Now, again, Cora's managed his way around that a little way.
Oh, and I'm sorry. History has nothing to do with it. The Dodgers have an excellent pitching staff. That's it. That's all I'm trying to. They have an excellent pitching staff that matches up well with you, right versus left. That's why I think they're dangerous. History has nothing to do with it.
I'll tell you what I think is wildly overrated in baseball. And I think that this is consistent. We've said this all year long. Regular season wins. So 108 versus 92. It doesn't mean anything now.
Oh, did you read Alex Spear too?
It's completely irrelevant.
For your run differential people, according to Alex Spear, I'll try and call it back up. When you go by what run differential means in terms of wins, there's an equation there, right? That a certain run differential should lead to a certain number of wins. The Red Sox run differential said that they should win 102 games, but they won 108. Here we go. The Red Sox, according to Alex Spear, the Sox were ruthlessly efficient this year, winning 108 games in a season in which their run differential suggested a 102-win team. Based on run differential, the Dodgers actually had an almost identical projected record, 102-61, but they underperformed that projection. Los Angeles actually outscored its opponents by more runs this year than they did in 2017 when they had the best record in baseball. So, I mean, and I don't think run differential is all that either, but there's some that who do. And that the fact the Red Sox won 108 versus 102 is largely a function of luck or some completely sucky opponents who collapsed when it mattered most.
I mean, to me, again, that's how I told you. I thought that the win total was inflated this year. And just to give you the raw numbers, the Red Sox were plus 229. The Dodgers were 194. Okay, now there's a gap there. But the Dodgers were the third highest run total in the big leagues. Houston was number one. Boston was number two. The Dodgers were number three. So, in effect, what you're saying here
is... Did you say run total or run differential?
Run differential. Well, in effect, what you're saying here is that... And by the way, the Yankees were number four. So, if the Red Sox are to win the World Series, they have to beat the teams that are ranked first, third, and fourth in run differential. Okay, like... And by the way, I think they can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you use that stat... You're saying that the Dodgers are as good as any team in baseball?
Pretty much.
Okay. Now, you just rolled through the other two that were. So I understand your confidence. I get it. But now you're sort of discounting how the teams are built and where their pitching's coming from and their left-handers and how you hit left-handers and all of that. This is a different matchup than at the Astros and the Yankees.
And in fact, if you use that metric, okay, run differential, there's only one National League team that ranks with all five American League playoff teams. And that's the Dodgers, right? All the other five in the top six, Houston, Boston, New York, Cleveland, Oakland, all in the playoffs.
We've got Angelo in Methuen. What do you got for us today, Angelo?
Yeah, Tony, good to see you.
What's up, Angelo?
All right. Now, bear with me, okay?
Okay, go.
I know you hate the guy, and I mean what I say. You do hate the guy. You don't dislike him. You hate him. Bradley's carrying the team so far. 9 ribbies in 2 games. What else do you want?
How about something higher than a 200 average? Is that asking for too much?
Oh, wait a minute. You always said to you, I heard you many times, numbers don't mean nothing to you. Nothing.
So look, Angelo, I'm busting new chops. Bradley came up with huge hits in the LCS. He deserved to be the MVP of the league championship series. But at the same time, are you going to rely on him in the next round?
I won't rely on him, but he's going to do, to me, he's going to do all right. I'm not going to say rely. I won't use that word. He's going to do fine. And when he gets his hit, like everybody's saying, I'm hearing, they're big hits. Doubles with the bases loaded, grand slam, whatever.
Well, Angelo, I mean, let's see. If he has some big hits in games one and two, then they'll have a decision to make in those NL parks.
See, I love Angelo, and I told you, I'd seriously consider playing Bradley in center field in L.A. and benching Benintendi.
Well, I mean, isn't the next two nights going to depend? If he's swinging the bat well, and he's driving the ball and barreling the ball, and he drives in some big runs, then they're going to have to figure something out. I'd still bench him, but it makes it a hard call. If he goes 0 for 7 with three strikeouts, doesn't that sort of... I mean, doesn't that sort of shut up a little bit the JBJ hippies?
Yes, if he looks overmatched, yeah. But I'll tell you what, I won't even say, I'll just go so far as to say good at bats. Good at bats. Because you know what? He's drawn walks this postseason. If Bradley's not making outs, I seriously consider playing him in center field and bringing Benintendi off the bench. And the other thing is, you know, I think it gives you a better bat off the bench late in the game against that Dodgers bullpen. I don't mind going that way. I don't. Because I just think that worst comes to worst, you can always get a hit late. The defense is harder to replace.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. No. All right, a bunch to get through final word today. We'll start with the call of the day, our best caller.
Oh, God.
I think.
I love this guy.
Guy in Boston who checked in when Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal was in for the first hour of the show.
Go ahead, Guy in Boston, lead us off today.
Yes, I would like to tell Greg Bedard why the Patriots' defense sucks. Coaching their defense is like training a donkey to run in the Kentucky Derby. Thank you.
You're welcome, Guy.
He is a treasure.
He's got a little bit of that, like Joe Pesci, Goodfellas delivery.
But, Dad.
Thank you.
Yeah. thank you. Or my cousin Vinny, maybe. But go ahead.
So I didn't actually hear this last night, but I knew exactly who it was. Right around 10:20-ish, once the Celtics game was all over, I saw Ian Brown, MLB.com, covers the Red Sox, tweet that he had heard on sports radio someone complaining about Mookie Betts being at the Celtics game. Well, I didn't even need to hear it to know who he was talking about. Yeah. The one, the only, Adam Jones.
Belichick going to the game that he went to was far worse. Bill's the leader of the organization, the leader of football operations anyway. And so the players are going to take their cues from the head coach. Mm-hmm. Bill's out on a Wednesday night. And I remember Patriots fans are like, oh, this is good. See, Bill knows. Bill already has the game plan figured out and he feels good about the matchup. Wrong. Could not be more wrong. Bill could not stop a backup quarterback on that Sunday. So Bill doing it is far worse. But I'll tell you what. I hope Mookie Betts plays well tomorrow night. That's all I hope for your sake, Mookie, that taking in the must-watch Orlando Magic, right? Because you had to see DJ Augustine and Evan Fournier tonight. You couldn't miss those guys. How often are they in Boston? You got to take it in. I just hope for your sake, Mookie. This is from me to you. Do yourself a favor. Don't go 0 for 4 tomorrow night in a loss with three strikeouts and a single dropping in front of you in right field. Just for your own benefit, don't do that tomorrow night.
So the only thing that's disingenuous about that is because he obviously means it. That's Jones. He means it. He's that dark.
Buzzard. Love
but
it.
The only thing I'm disingenuous is who he's talking to is the city of Boston and the listeners. It's not Mookie that needs to be careful if he goes 0-4.
No, it's you.
It's you. It's you. Everybody else because you're never going to hear the end of it. Mookie Betts going to the Celtics game. Like, come on. For those of you watching the World
Series. He is the prince of darkness, isn't he? He really is.
I'm going to give this a go here. For those of you watching the World Series at home tonight, an extra added treat. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick performed the voiceover to open Fox's coverage of the World Series. The piece is titled, How Do You Make History? And here we have an exclusive first listen to this promo.
How do you make history? You could storm Omaha Beach with some 50,000 troops to confront looming bluffs bristling with mortars, machine guns, and German artillery. For the Boston Red Sox, you exercise the demons of an 86-year curse and chance of 1918 by winning the title in 2004. For the Dodgers, you ride the emotion of Kirk Gibson's pinch-hit two-run home run on two bad legs in Game 1 to an improbable championship over the A's. And how do they make history this year? The team that plays best in all phases will win the series. That's how you make history. I'm not going to be shocked if it goes something like that.
Actually looking forward to it.
No, yeah, it'll be good, I'm sure.
Bill Belichick, again, doing the open to the World Series.
Guarantee you there's
idea.
Some sort of historical fact in there that has to pertain to one of the wars.
Navy.
Navy, something, World War II. And, of course, as we get set for Red Sox Dodgers game number one, let's hear Squeaky Maz and how much he hates L.A.
I hate the Dodgers. I can't stand the Dodgers and that stupid, dumbass uniform, the stadium, everything else.
The uniform's
I can't stand it. I hate it. There's something about it that I look at. It makes me want to puke.
But what's wrong with the jersey?
I don't like it. Bugs the crap out of me. Chavez Ravine. Big nasty head out of my side. It's a rat hole. Happy horseback. Very happy. Out there in L.A. Sunny shining all the time. Historic stadium. Another perfect. Crap bag franchise that hasn't won in 20 years.
You hate L.A.
I do hate L.A. I don't want the Dodgers to win ever again.
You hate L.A.
I do hate L.A. They can take it and stuff it. We love it. And the organization can kiss my ass. We love it. It's one of the most arrogant organizations in professional sports. I hate the Dodgers. I cannot stand the f***ing Dodgers.
Okay, so do you hate the Dodgers more than the Cubs thing, which you also despise?
Oh, right, I'm rooting for the Cubs.
You are now?
I am, I'm in. I'm here on the Cubs. I don't hate the Red Sox. I hate the Dodgers.
So I've changed my mind on the uniforms, obviously.
No, you actually like the uniforms.
Yeah, no, the uniforms are pretty classic, actually. I think I was just so wound up and pissed back then that I ripped anything and everything relating to the Dodgers. Even, you know, regardless of whether or not I truly felt it at that time, I was generally angry. I've mellowed out my old age.
Oh, yeah, no, tremendously.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.